It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Happy Friday to you. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I hope you're amazing. We got a lot. Oh, damn it. Almost choked on the air. Hickey almost died. Almost choked. I'm okay. I'm fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm fine. Oh, my God. Ah.
You were kidding about quitting the show earlier, and I was a little worried. Oh, boy. Inadvertently, we got to see you quitting right here.
Yeah, man. I would have been on. You would have heard a loud thump, and the show would be over. But we're still here for the next 3 hours. The show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. That's the first time, I think, I've been doing radio in 2018. That's the first time I almost choked and died on the air. Anyway, I'm still here Friday the 13th. Speaking of choking, Devondre Campbell, he's choking away his career. Quit on the 49ers last night. Odell Beckham Jr., injuries might have already taken away his career. Odell doesn't want to be on the Dolphins. The Dolphins don't want him. He's going to look for a new team if Odell's body allows him. We talked about Bill Belichick, the likelihood that he quits on the North Carolina Tar Heels. It's small, slim to none. And as we continue on with the show, we have so much to do. In about 20 minutes from now, we're going to have a chat with Eric Edholm, a senior writer for NFL.com. I want to talk about some of these big games over the weekend. We got some good matchups. How about this potential Super Bowl preview between Buffalo and Detroit? We got Pittsburgh and the Eagles, a battle of Pennsylvania. We'll get into some teams that are still jockeying for position in the postseason. A team like the Broncos, they're getting ready to host the Colts. There's just so much to get into. We'll talk more about Deebo Samuel, who did all that whining and complaining about not getting the ball, ultimately to drop it twice yesterday. So sometimes you should just let your play do the talking. And so if you missed the first hour of the show, you can hit rewind on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. Thank you to everybody listening live on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, it's 158. And if you have a smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. If you want to call me, you can. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can also find me online. I am everywhere at JR Sport Brief. And today, this is very special, very important. I'm looking forward to this. Next hour, we're going to debut the first, I guess, official version of the Friday Funny. I got to get it right. The Friday Funny. You know, we always get callers who say these crazy things on Fridays. People are done with the work week. You start cracking open more than one beer, maybe two or three. Hopefully you're doing it safely, not behind the wheel of a vehicle. But we wanted to actually dedicate a segment where you can call up and just, I don't know, tell a joke. You know, bring some levity to the weekend. Get us all set. We had some interesting jokes last week. Interesting is the proper adverb. And so we're going to encourage more of these jokes. Well, matter of fact, we'll do that. We'll do that next hour. So pay attention, because if you're looking for some showtime, if you're looking for some airtime, you're trying to get yourself out there. I don't know. Maybe you're an aspiring comedian. You can call up 855-212-4227. In a few seconds from now, a few minutes, a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you about the Heisman. We just talked about Quinn Ewers. I'm thrilled that he is going to the NFL draft. Get him the hell up on out of Texas, because I'm ready for Arch Manning. I've had my fill of Quinn Ewers, who at the next level is likely going to be a backup or a third string QB. God bless him. Quinn Ewers healthy enough to play in their upcoming bowl game. Sark, his head coach, he was on a Rich Eisen show, and he said, man, Quinn Ewers, he's good, man. He can handle the NFL because he can handle Texas.
He's got to do his part, too. And so in the end, I think like anything, you're the quarterback of the University of Texas. You probably get a little more credit than we deserve when we play well. And you probably get too much blame when you lose a ball game in overtime against a Georgia, who arguably is the best defense in the country. So all in all, that comes with the territory. But I credit Quinn a ton for how he's handled everything and managed it and stayed focused on the task at hand. And that's playing really good football and being a great teammate and a great leader.
Oh, okay, all that, whatever. Sure. Hickey, who's he going to lead on the bench holding the clipboard?
The third string, the guy behind him.
Oh, my God. I'm such a jerk. Oh, man. I'm bad. Sometimes I say things, Hickey, and I'm like, that's not nice, right?
I like it, though, that you say them first and then feel bad afterwards.
Nah, but if Quinn Ewers was sitting right here in front of me, I wouldn't say this to him. I'd be like, hey, man, you know, how you feeling? You feeling good about the draft? Like, I wouldn't say this, but I'd be thinking it, you know?
I think there's, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you're not trying to, you know, ruin the interview. You still want to get something out of it. You're not trying to ruin his life, per se.
No. I'm not trying to ruin
lives.
So, I think
you can conduct an interview differently than you would right now, talking about him with him not in the room.
Right. It's not like he's asking me, right? Is it different? Yeah.
Also true.
If I'm interviewing him and I'm asking him, man, what are you doing? What are you thinking? This and that. Like, that's not my time to just impart my opinion all over the place. But if he asked me, I go, yeah, man, second string, third string. You asking me? I'm being honest. He can lead whoever he wants at Texas as the starter. But, man, on the next level, good luck. Good luck.
Look up Chase Daniel.
Uh-oh.
Maybe Quinn get familiar with his name.
Oh, you're worse than me.
Oh, yeah. I'm just you're the energy's out there. I'm just trying to feed off of it. Okay. It's contagious.
I mean, we could go through a long list of QBs all over the place.
Look, by the way, maybe that's the way to do it. You don't get hit. You collect a check.
Make money.
Right. I mean, Chase Daniels did it perfectly.
Yeah. Make money every year. Just constant jobs.
Constant jobs. Yeah. Minimal hits. Win.
A good life. Well, you know, a good life. 855-212-4227. Hey, we're going to talk about some guys that are actually going to play in the NFL in a second. But let's do this. 855-212-4227. Ann is here from Arkansas. Ann, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's on your mind? Hello, Ann? Oh, no. Where did Ann go? That's terrible. It's sad. Hey, y'all's looking forward to talking to Ann. That's bad. What I tell you about I'm not saying Ann was a cheater, but what I tell you about, never mind. Just leave Ann out of that. Ann, I assume Ann from Arkansas is a sweet woman. Hey, Ann, if you're listening, call back 855-212-4227. Hey, let's actually talk about some guys that are going to play in the NFL, not Quinn Ewers, because tomorrow in New York City is Heisman time. Then we know who and what is not who and what. These guys are people. They're not what's. We know who's going to end up with the Heisman. We know the candidates. We know the realistic candidates. That's why Hickey was in that awful, terrible place, Times Square, earlier today. It was to, you know, for the media availability of the four Heisman candidates. Sorry, let's get the other two guys out the way. No disrespect. Dylan Gabriel, not winning the Heisman. Could win a national championship with the Ducks, but not winning the Heisman. Cam Ward. This man won the Davey O'Brien National Quarterback of the Year. Good for him. Congratulations. He won something. He ain't winning the Heisman. I know something else he ain't winning. He ain't winning no championship either because his team is not even in the playoff. Sorry. No disrespect to the Miami fans and listeners out there. We know this award is going to come down to Travis Hunter and Ashton Jeanty. Colorado, they not in no playoff. Now look at them in a bowl. In Boise State with Ashton Jeanty, well, he got a bye. And we know Ashton Jeanty has been lighting it up all college football season on that ugly blue grass in Boise, Idaho. Love Boise, love the state. Don't like that grass. That's me. Ashton Jeanty, almost 2,500 yards on the ground, rushing. He led the next second guy by over 800 yards. Where they do that at? This man also led the country with 29 rushing touchdowns. Where do they do that at? He already won the Maxwell Award, football's top player, Doak Walker Award, nation's top running back, the last running back to win a Heisman. You got to go back to this beast. Derrick Henry did it in 2015 with Alabama. Ashton Jeanty. He was just chatting it up with Michael Parsons the other day, and the other voice is Michael Parsons, and Ashton explaining why he deserves to win the Heisman. Listen to this.
By week four, I wasn't seeing anything less than 8-man box, so that means the whole defense, every single week is geared towards stopping me, and they still couldn't.
You know, I've been rooting for you to be Heisman since I've been watching you play. What do you say for the people who kind of disagree with that?
People want to talk about the conferences, okay, whatever, but you know, when I played in ranked games against ranked teams, put up big numbers against them, and prove that it doesn't matter who that I'm playing against. And then just for us to win the conference, not only that, but, you know, make history and bring Boise State to their first ever playoff appearance. I mean, I feel like there you go. Like that was a final check box. I have put a lot of work in and I have helped lead this team, you know, to the success that we have right now. A big part of that was on me. Like since the beginning of the year, the pressure was on me to, you know, lead the team and help us get to where we need to be.
Yeah, he is the team. He is Boise State. It's him. If that man was not there, they wouldn't be in no damn playoff. He is the team, period. And on the other hand, we got Travis Hunter. I don't even know where to start with this guy's numbers. He's playing offense. He's playing defense. He's wide receiver. He's defensive back. He's not stepping off of the field. The guy was sixth in college football with more than 1,100 receiving yards. He was second with 14 receiving touchdowns. He had 31 tackles on defense, 4 interceptions, 11 pass breakups. They did not throw the ball in his direction. To even dive a little deeper, he had 92 receptions on offense and only gave up 22 catches. Think about that. He hauled in 14 receiving touchdowns and only gave up 1. He was responsible for 53 first downs. He only gave up 6. This is crazy. The numbers are nuts. He pretty much told you, I'm playing offense, I'm playing defense, I'm the complete package. I'm like Shohei Ohtani out here, but on a football field. Travis Hunter was on the pivot, and he said, man, I'll do it all. They need to give me the award.
I definitely believe I would deserve to win it. You know, what player you know could play receiver, get double teamed, still get 1,000 yards, and the game plan is about you on the offensive side of the ball, and then you go to the defense side of the ball. You know, the game plan is still, you know, about you. And I still ended up with 4 interceptions, 11 pass breakups, I think, and 30-some tackles, which I shouldn't be tackling, but, you know.
Right.
I gave him 1 touchdown, which was all my fault, you know, sleeping out there, getting too relaxed. But guess what? I bounced back, you know, lock up my side of the field. I should have had at least, I think, 7 interceptions. But, you know, defense is way harder on than catching the ball than on offense. I had butterfingers on defense the last couple of games, but still was able to come back with 1 more before the season ends. But I definitely think I should win it. You never seen a player like me.
He's right. I mean, we can look at Charles Woodson, Deion Sanders, Champ Bailey. Those might be the closest players to Travis Hunter of what we've seen. He already won a crap ton of awards last night. AP Player of the Year, Walter Camp Award, Chuck Bednarik, Top Defensive Player, Biletnikoff, Best Wide Receiver. He's already racking up the hardware. And Hickey and I discussed this already. He's probably going to win the award. We would both give it to Ashton Jeanty. I get it. Travis Hunter he's basically playing 2 positions. It's like I'm that. But I feel like if you took him off the team and you replaced him with 2 players, average players, you still do something, right? And I get it. We don't live in a what if world, but I just feel like Ashton Jeanty is the entire team for Boise State. I see them in this playoff because of him. Travis Hunter has an impact on Colorado on offense and defense, but it's not enough of an impact to have them here in the playoff. They're going to give it to Travis Hunter because he's dynamic, offense and defense. It is something that we haven't seen. But Jeanty, the running backs, is just another case of them not getting no respect. And so I fully expect Ashton Jeanty to sit there with just a sour look on his face as they give the award to Travis Hunter, who will be full of tears and smiles and, I don't know, happiness. Hick, you haven't changed your mind on that, right? Travis Hunter will win. You still like Jeanty, though, huh?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. I feel the same. Feel the same damn way. You know what? On the other side of the break, we're going to have a chat with Eric Edholm, and he covers all things NFL for NFL.com. And he specifically covers the draft. So we're going to get his thoughts on both Ashton Jeanty and Travis Hunter, in addition to a lot of what's going on currently in the league. The Heisman will be announced tomorrow night in New York City. Before we talk to Eric, it appears that Ann is back. 855-212-4227. I think Ann might have a little bit of a Friday funny joke before we get there next hour. Ann, you're on the JR Sport Re Show Coast to Coast. What's up?
I don't have a joke, but I have two Christmas riddles.
Close enough. I'm bad at them. Go ahead.
Okay, number one, what does Santa Claus eat for breakfast?
Okay, what my answer is not appropriate for the radio. I was going to say cookies, but go ahead.
Ice Krispies.
Who, Ice Krispies?
Yes.
Okay, that's cleaner than what I was thinking. What's the next riddle?
Who is Frosty the Snowman's favorite relative?
Who is Frosty the Snowman's favorite relative? The Abominable Snowman.
Oh, good guess.
Was that right?
No, it's actually Antarctica.
Ants? Oh, I like that one. Well, thank you, Ann, for calling from Arkansas. I like those jokes. Thank you, Ann.
Oh, you're welcome, and thanks to Ron Hickey.
Yeah, we like Ron Hickey. We love him. Thank you so much, Ann. Antarctica. I like that one, Hickey.
I. I'm curious to hear where your brain went on the first one. What do you think Santa Claus eats first thing in the morning?
Hickey, I said cookies.
Just making sure.
I said what I said.
I heard all the way up here in New York, that brain of yours churning, so I can only imagine what was just running inside of it.
I said cookies. Who baked the cookies and where the cookies at?
Mm.
I leave for your imagination.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Yeah, whose cookies? I don't know. Is it Mrs. Claus cookies or it's the next door neighbor's cookies? Everybody knows Santa Claus loves cookies. I know that.
That he does.
He loves cookies. Anyway. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more Heisman, more NFL. Eric at home is going to join us, writer for NFL.com. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move. I love cookies too.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Oh, so much has already taken place. NFL Week 15. We got guys who are quitting, guys who are getting cut. We got a potential Super Bowl matchup coming up as a preview on Sunday. We got Lions and Bills to talk about it all. Joining us right now is someone who covers the NFL, the draft process, all things league related, and writes for NFL.com. It's Eric Edholm. Eric, thank you for the time.
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm very well. I want to take a look back before we look forward to last night. We all saw what happened with Devondre Campbell. It has dominated the NFL news cycle for the past 24 hours. We know he is not going to play for those Niners anymore. Are they going to punish him and hold that money in a suspension? They just going to tell him hit the bricks? What are they going to do?
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to move on from him, and they may have already done it by the time we've spoken here. But yeah, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. I think just from hearing the reaction in the locker room, where now maybe they don't all have the full picture, maybe there's something we don't know. That's all possible, right? But hearing George Kittle talk about it, you know, hearing Kyle Shanahan talk about it, hearing other players as well, you know, they didn't appreciate it. They felt like they got walked out on, you know, and they felt like they got left behind by one of their guys. So, yeah, can't move on with that, especially in this season. You know, the Eagles last week, a little strife with Hurts and A.J. Brown. I'm sure if they win Sunday, we move on, right? But when it's happening during a season like the Niners are having with the injuries and everything else and just, you know, essentially being out of the playoffs, then – yeah, that's where we're at right now. It's going to be a bigger deal and, like you said, dominate the headlines.
Well, Eric, knowing that the 49ers are probably too deep into the hole with injuries and what have you to legitimately compete, forget about making the playoffs, even if they do, just to legitimately compete, what should we look forward to for next year? Because Brock Purdy is going to get the bag. He's going to get a lot of money. We got a couple of their stars coming off of major injuries. Are the Niners, should they still be in that space of, just return in the same group, so they should be good?
Yeah, that's going to be a huge question this offseason. What direction do they head? Are there major changes at all? You know, you mentioned Purdy's extension, and it's, you know, believed to be obviously something they've worked on and talked about. And, you know, I think it's something everybody expects to happen and probably will, but you know, what if there's some kind of change in leadership? I don't know. You know, it feels like it may not be as quiet an off season in San Francisco as you'd assume, right? But like you pointed out, you have a nucleus of talent, and if you assume the injuries are are going to be okay by the start of next season. You run it back once more, you work around your cap issues, and you find a way to get a legitimate chance that you missed out on this year? Or do you, are you forced to make big changes, or are there other things coming? I mean, it just there's a potential for a lot of noise in San Francisco this offseason.
Eric Edholm is joining us from NFL.com. When you look at the NFC, we see that Detroit is head and shoulders above everybody else, even though Minnesota is not that far behind them. You had mentioned the Eagles, they're not too far behind them. Do they really have competition? Who is their closest competition for these Lions?
Yeah, in the NFC, you mean specifically?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we can't forget about the Vikings. I mean, like, I think people are kind of dismissing them, oh, the Sam Darnold factor. You know, maybe they weren't that good, and, you know, their couple losses may have exposed them a little bit against better teams. You know, whatever excuse people were coming up with, you know, they're still hanging around. Philly, obviously, has been terrific. If Detroit's defensive injuries keep piling up, it's going to be really hard for them to keep plugging holes. You know, you only have so many thumbs and toes and whatnot. I mean, they've really had to dig deep on that depth chart. It feels like they've lost a starter or two every single week for about 5-6 weeks now. So some of them are coming back. You know, obviously this weekend is going to be a fascinating look. Like you said, kind of a Super Bowl preview, but I still think they're built to last. I really do. I mean, maybe I'm, you know, getting caught up in the whole thing, but I even if they get knocked down a peg or two, I don't think you can write the Lions off, but these Eagles are really tough. Vikings aren't going away.
It's Sam Darnold, comeback player of the year, Eric?
I completely lost what the definition of that award is, and I know they had to, like, clarify.
Do we have to break his legs for a week or two for him to win?
Right, exactly. Is there, like, an injury clause in there somewhere where we can automatically qualify him? Yeah, however you define that award, I mean, he's obviously improved his stance in league circles probably more than any player in the league, I would say, this year, or one of the, you know, two or three. And, you know, it's gone from the point of, hey, Sam's going to make a lot of money in the offseason to, do the Vikings just let him walk? Or do they franchise him? Or what do they do here? You know, are they so sure that J.J. McCarthy's going to be ready next year? Yeah, I guess it depends on how the rest of the season plays out. But so far, he's doing himself a lot of favors and kind of having that Geno Smith moment, essentially, the second career in a different location.
Eric Edholm is here with us from NFL.com. Hey, the former quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, who's now here in Atlanta. We saw what he did. Kirk Cousins went to Minnesota, threw a couple more INTs. We got to wait until Monday Night Football to see him take on the Raiders. At what point do you believe the Falcons will pull the plug?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they've seen this division slip away, you know, their chance of getting in the playoffs. I mean, you know, obviously Raheem's kind of said that, you know, like, we'll know, or like, when it's time, we'll make that switch. Well, people are getting pretty antsy, right? We've seen the results on the field. They've mirrored the team's success, which has been nil, you know, the last four games. So do you wait till you're out of it to make the switch? It doesn't seem very fruitful to me, but there's also the veteran factor, the trust factor. I mean, you spent all this money on Kirk to get it done, and it for a while was looking okay. But too many of those frisbee throws, DBs are squatting on that stuff and ready to pounce. And, you know, it's been too many in harm's way the last four games, and I'm a little surprised they haven't done it yet.
Well, one team that doesn't have that problem, year to year, the Kansas City Chiefs, they're 12-1. They win in every game by the skin of their teeth. Field goals, missed field goals, doinks, dinks, blocks, you name it, they're winning it. What are your thoughts on these Chiefs as it relates to the AFC? Are they just going to luck their way and maybe get a little healthier into the postseason? What do you expect from them?
Yeah, I mean, it's so fascinating, obviously. You know, we've watched them win back-to-back Super Bowl championships. And then last year was sort of a starter course for what we're going through now, in the sense that, you know, they lost on Christmas to the Raiders, and they were not looking great heading into the playoffs. They were not the favorites, right? The Ravens were. And they found a way. And I think that in the back of everyone's mind, you have to remember, like, this team is absolutely capable of that. So I think on one hand, they're kind of loving it in the sense that they have this built-in motivational factor, like, oh, okay, just keep doubting this. You know, we'll crank it up come January like we always do. But on the other hand, our eyes aren't lying either. We've seen that, like you said, there have been some pretty fortunate turns, as clutch as they are in those, you know, those key moments. They win those moments 9 times out of 10 and win those games every time this season, pretty much. So, yeah, it's been fascinating to watch, and I will never doubt Mahomes, but the fact that we're not even, you know, discussing them among the handful of favorites is still pretty wild.
The Buffalo Bills, we saw that loss to the Rams this past Sunday. What do you expect from them? It seems like the same old Bills every year. You have Josh Allen, who continues to become more efficient. What do you think about the Bills? Is this the year to get over the hump, or are they going to run into a buzzsaw with these Lions on Sunday?
Yeah, right. I mean, that could be two straight weeks where their defense is exposed or humbled or whatever, you know. And you know, I think to this point or prior to last week, you'd say that the defense had kind of held its own and really done a nice job given the losses and the holes. I mean, personnel-wise, I don't think they're blowing people away talent-wise. I think it's been, obviously, the offense stressing a lot of people, the defense being timely and key in the red zone, turnovers, things like that. But, yeah, I mean, you can only live with that for so long, and this will be a really interesting test case. Are they dangerous? Absolutely. Can they win it all? I think so. But, you know, Sunday was a reminder that on their worst day, you know, even a nuclear hot Josh Allen can be beat. And that's a little bit sobering for a team that's been oh so close and missed out.
Well, Eric, you got to push everything to the table, right? Is what team would you go all in on? Who would it be for this Super Bowl?
I mean, I kind of tipped my hand earlier with the Lions, and I do worry about that defense because Aaron Glenn had done such a really nice job, still has done a terrific job this season. And, you know, at the peak of their powers, you know, anything could happen in a one-game situation, but I don't know that they would have been beaten this year. Now they've been weakened a little bit, but I'm telling you, that seems to just be like the fuel for their fire, man. I mean, I think they'll throw the kitchen sink at everybody. Yeah, it may not be pretty every single week, but if I had to pick one team, I would say Detroit's got a shot to win their first Super Bowl.
Well, listen, Dan Campbell will certainly keep it interesting all the way through. Eric at home is here with us from NFL.com. Eric, I know you do a lot of work as relates to the NFL draft as well. We know the Heisman is going to be given away tomorrow. We know guys like Travis Hunter, he's going to get drafted, Cam Ward, et cetera. Who do you think is going to walk away with the Heisman in Manhattan tomorrow?
I think it's going to be Travis Hunter. You know, I mean, he's been winning pretty much every other award he's eligible for. The Biletnikoff as a receiver, and you know, I mean, in NFL circles, I think there's maybe a little bit more intrigue about him as a corner, as a defensive back, but you know, still could be viewed as an offensive player. But obviously, in the college football realm, to me, he's just been the best football player in the country this year. We really haven't seen this kind of a two-way player, you know. Even with Charles Woodson doing what he did in '97, look, it wasn't to the same degree. Now, maybe it wasn't as good a team, but still, I think that carries a lot of weight. I think it's cool that we've had some non-quarterbacks in the last decade or so, going back to starting with like Derrick Henry, and then obviously, you know, Devontae Smith was a kind of an outlier too. And you know, this is an outlier pick for sure, and a generational one, I think, too, if that ends up happening.
As we go through bowl season and the championship as well, the playoff, there are a lot of quarterbacks, some who are going to be playing in different games, what have you, Shador, Cam Ward, you know, Dylan Gabriel. How do you think things are going to line up in regards to the quarterbacks taken?
Yeah, I kind of wish that we had a little better playoff luck with the quarterbacks. That would really have been, you know, had we gotten Cam Ward in or had we gotten Shador in, because both teams were, you know, kind of right on the outskirts. And so that's a disappointment, I think, from that standpoint. But, you know, obviously we're still going to get Quinn Ewers, who is now declared for the draft. And he's a fascinating test case. I don't know that he's a first round pick, but, you know, there's something there. There's something to work with. And so his stock has some volatility to it, I would say. Shadur, I think we kind of know what we have with him, but again, I still want to see him against as many top competition teams as possible. Same with Ward. I don't think I would normally say that they would be considered among the top quarterbacks in a draft class, like last year, for instance. But this year, I think they're, you know, they're going high. And we'll see. I mean, this is now kind of turning the corner into draft season. There's always room for change, but that's where we are now, I would say, is Ward and Sanders are kind of the ones who are getting the most buzz at this point, especially with Carson Beck's injury. That's another bad luck turn that we had.
Well, last question for you, Eric. And speaking of Carson Beck, we saw the Bulldogs get ETN back, get a little bit of a boost with the running back position. What do you think things look like for Gentry when he turns pro? You know, people are talking about his size, and yes, he's unlikely to win the Heisman. He might win, but probably not tomorrow. How does he fit in the new NFL where they're airing the ball out?
Yeah, I mean, there has been a gradual regression to the mean as far as the run game, and I say that in air quotes because I think it includes quarterbacks too, and a lot of that yardage comes from QB scrambling. But there has been a gentle backswing in the last couple of years towards the run game, which I appreciate, you know, as a run game guy. And I think you've seen, obviously, you guys took Bijan very high in the draft. That was a controversial pick, I guess, or, you know, in terms of, you know, running back draft value and all that. And I think Ginty has a chance to, you know, that might be the ceiling right about where did he go? Eighth, I want to say, something like that, seventh, eighth. Yeah, so, you know, early projection, that's sort of what I would think, is that there's still a little bit of suspicion you're not going to get a Saquon going number two, as great as Saquon has been. He's amazing, but I think those days aren't quite here again yet, and that may have been an out-of-left-field pick anyway at the time.
Yeah.
So I would say somewhere in the late, you know, top 10 to the mid-teens.
Okay. Well, let's see. Maybe we can get Gettleman back to select the running back that high. Hey, Eric.
I set myself up on that one.
Yeah, you did. You did. Hey, Eric, where can we follow you and all your work as we get through the NFL stretch run, the playoffs, the Super Bowl, the draft, the combine? Tell us, man.
Yeah, NFL.com, and I run the power rankings. We've got the Mike Yam and I do the power rankings podcast and show. Check it out on the website, on the Fast Channel, YouTube. You got it. So any of that works. And yeah, we'll be cranking up in the draft mode pretty soon here.
Hey, Tom flies. Let's not rush it too much, Eric. Thank you so much, and enjoy the weekend, okay? We'll catch you down the line.
You too. Thank you.
No doubt about it. That Eric Edholm, writer for NFL.com. Yeah, he also believes that Travis Hunter is going to walk away with that Heisman tomorrow. And, man, the way the Lions are playing, I just feel like they can bomb every and anybody out of the building. Yeah, specifically their building because they play inside at Ford Field. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. We come back. We're going to talk about some more of the NFL action coming your way. Some of the big games this Sunday. Next hour, we're going to get into the Friday funny, get to the phone line, just kind of ease things down, take things down a notch, have some fun on a Friday.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Eric Edholm from NFL.com for joining us in the last break. Man, this guy, he writes, watches all the games, keeps up with college, gets us ready for the draft. Thank you, Eric, for coming through. Eric feels he feels good about the Detroit Lions. If you got a pick one team in the NFL this year to go out there and win the Super Bowl, Eric Edholm, not a bad bet. He picked the Lions, and we have some other great and good matchups this upcoming Sunday. I can't wait for this. As a matter of fact, let's get to this game at the top of the hour. Buffalo is going to take on Detroit. Detroit is going to host these Buffalo Bills. The Bills are hoping to not lose two in the row. And then we have another good game, the Battle of Pennsylvania. We're going to have the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to be out here taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And now, Hickey, at the end of that game, nobody plants a flag or nothing right there. We're not doing any of that crap.
Ooh, I do hope so. Interstate rivalry. We should. Intra. I always get that confused. Interstate.
Interstate, right? Because the middle, I don't know. Intra, right. What's the difference? Make both of us sound dumb. I don't know. Intrastate. No. Inter.
That's like multiple states, right? Intra.
Here we go. Now we got to use Google. Our brains don't work anymore. Intra versus inter. Here we go. We're all going to learn something. Okay? Intra means within. Inter means between.
So it is intrastate.
Intra, because it's within the state of Pennsylvania. There's no middle. They're not playing in at your school. That would be Harrisburg, right? They're not the middle.
Right. No.
Yeah, even your school wouldn't even be the middle. That'd be closer to Pittsburgh.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, Harrisburg. You like Harrisburg? You been there?
I've been there one time very quickly to get a bus. Can't say I've explored. From what I've heard, there's not a lot to do in Harrisburg. It is the state capital, so they got that going for them. But no disrespect to any listeners right now in Harrisburg, PA. I just never got the opportunity to go.
It's an elevated city, right? It's beautiful when you drive. Have you driven through it in winter? It's beautiful.
What is an elevated city? What does that mean?
You know, that whole central part is at the north of Appalachia. It's all mountains.
Do you mean like, you're talking like literal elevation?
Yes.
Yes. You know it is. You're right. It's in the mountains.
Yes, not elevated as in, I don't know, Aaron Rodgers elevated, but, elevated as in the mountains. It's a beautiful drive in the winter. I've done it.
Lucky you. Maybe one day I'll get to experience that.
Driving from where to where? Where are you going?
I don't know. But, I mean, it's about 2 hours or so roughly from Penn State's campus. So, again, not many opportunities for me to go venture to see what Harrisburg has to offer. But
yeah. Well, I know you love your teams. You love Penn State. You also love the Colts. The Colts, they got a matchup coming up this weekend. They're going to take on the Broncos. You got two teams jockeying for playoff position. Now, I think I've asked you this every week. You don't believe the Colts are going to do anything, right?
I don't. Overall, are they going to contend for a Super Bowl? Hell no.
They're not even going to the playoffs.
They win this game, conversation changes. I didn't say I was predicting them to win. I'm just saying if they win this game, now I don't think they will. If they win, all of a sudden, they are more likely than not to make the playoffs.
You trust Anthony Richardson against Sean Payton in Denver, Colorado?
No, which is part of the reason why I said I'm not picking them to win. I do like, though, what I've seen recently from the last, three games of Anthony Richardson since he was benched.
Yeah, he had that comeback against New England.
Comeback against the Jets.
Oh, is that really a comeback?
For him, yeah. Listen, any sort of positivity. I don't want to hear anything about who it was against. It all counts the same.
This guy is from Miami, Florida. He's going to be freezing his ass off up there in Denver. Let's see what he does. Somebody else impressed with how he's turned things around is his own head coach. Shane Steichen says, yeah, I've seen him get better slowly but surely.
I've seen great growth in a lot of phases. His pocket presence has been really strong the last couple weeks. He's delivering the ball where it needs to go. He's making a ton of plays with his legs, which is great. And we just got to continue that, these next, 4 weeks for sure.
I like how he just described his job. Basically, he wasn't doing his job, which is why he got benched. And he also quit on the team and then he came back. At least he came back, right?
That's right. And he quit for a play. Yeah. Devontae Campbell quit for the entire game.
Yeah. And Anthony Richardson has redeemed himself. And hey, how about this? Sean Payton found someone that he doesn't want to disparage, that he doesn't want to hate on. He actually gave Anthony Richardson a compliment because, of course, you want to compliment your opposition before you destroy him.
It brings a lot of challenges. You kind of get your 11th man back. There's zone schemes, there's gap schemes. There's a number of things that can stress you. We had the benefit of that a little bit with Taysom Hill the same way. He's got great arm strength down the field. So, a big part of their run game is, both he and the halfback. So It presents, you know, a completely different type challenge than weeks prior.
Yeah, screw all of that, man. Come on now. He knows his quarterback is better. He knows Bo Nix knows how to deliver the football down the field, and he doesn't have to worry about him running around like a nut. It's Sean Payton. He shows love to his own offense.
I think we've been better on third down than earlier in the year. We've been better in the red zone. Those are two things that stand out. Done a pretty good job of taking care of the football. But I think our third down, you know, in some of these wins, our third down and red zone numbers have been pretty good.
Man, even when he says taking care of the football, I can't, in the back of my head, I'm going, he's thinking about Russell Wilson. He's just mad. He's just like, man, Russell Wilson's not here anymore. I can't take a dump on him, so I'm just going to say something. Can't help himself. Anyway, I got the Broncos beating the Colts in Denver, Colorado. And I look forward to seeing what Anthony Richardson looks like as he freezes his ass off in a Mile High City. What, 5,300, 280, I don't know. A mile above sea level. Good for them. Let's see what he does up there. Hopefully he doesn't quit. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're not going to quit. When we come back, oh, yeah, next hour is going to be the Friday Funny. And then we're going to talk about some teams that are actually good, teams that could legitimately win a championship, like Buffalo and Detroit. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.